Amen. Do you believe that he is worthy? Hallelujah. Turn to someone, shake their hand, give them a high five and say, he is worthy. Amen. Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. And so if there's nothing else we can do, we can always give him thanks. We can always praise him. We can always worship him. Hallelujah. Because that's, the Bible says the whole purpose of man is to praise God, to worship him, to give him thanks. And today I'm determined not to be the same the way I came. I had enough of this week. Amen. I'm glad it's in the past. I'm looking for a new week. One of blessing, one of uplift. Hallelujah. One of victory, one of deliverance. I'm tired of that old week now. The Bible says new every day, right? In Lamentations, it says his mercies are renewed. Hallelujah. I'm so glad of that, that God's mercies are renewed. They're not the same. Hallelujah. And today, if you came, as I said, and you had a hard week, it seems like every week's a hard week. But you know what? One of these days, we're going to transition from being in this situation. Hallelujah. We're going to hear our name when he says, come up hither. Amen. I can't wait. If I start thinking about that, I might just start to smile. I might start to get excited because I am tired of this world. Amen. There's nothing down here for me. Hallelujah. What I want is his blessings, and I want to hear my name called. Hallelujah. Well, we've been studying this month on the Father's will, and this is our fourth week on it, on the Father's will, and we're going to, as I always, start off with some review. But we want to move from just existing to walking in blessing. You know, a miracle is really a breaking of a law. Think about it. When we're asking for a miracle, we're really wanting God to break a law. What God would rather have us do is live according to his laws so that he doesn't have to do miracles for us. That means just living according to his laws and we will reap the blessings. Amen. I'm going to get into that soon, but let's just review the first week we did, who is in control? Who is in control? And I talked about how we can let fear, our emotions, get control. And it's so easy. That I think that's one of the devil's biggest weapons for Christians is our emotions. Fear, anxiety, worry, all these kind of things. And we talked about who is in control. The second week we talked about the transformed mind, how the Bible speaks about having a transformed mind so that we can understand God's will. If we look in with the natural mind, many things will not make sense. They just will not make sense. But if we're looking with the spiritual transformed mind and we have patience, in the end, God will make it clear to us. You know, many things Jesus said, you could look at them as hard sayings. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's a hard saying. He didn't explain it. He just said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have no part. Now, a whole bunch of disciples said, whoa, that's too much. Can't go along with that. And they left. They never waited in patience for God to bring the revelation of what that actually meant. And of course, it wasn't until 3.5 years later at the Lord's Supper was that made plain what he truly meant when he started to take the bread and break it. This is my flesh that was broken for you. And the cup, this is my blood. All the people who had left 3 years before because they couldn't understand, because they didn't have the patience. You see, when we don't have a transformed mind and we're looking at things in the natural, a lot of things will not make sense to us. It will just not make sense to us. But if we are patient, if we trust God, even when it doesn't make sense, even when we're waiting, some of the hardest things to do is to wait upon the Lord, isn't it? But they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. But that waiting period, oh, that's tough. That's tough. Give me patience and give it to me now, right? That's how us human beings are. We want what we want right now. But if we will just be patient and trust in the Lord. So that was week two. Week three, we talked about submitting to God through love. That's the easiest way to serve God is if you love him. Otherwise, it's hard. Any job that you love will almost come like not being work because you want to do it. And so we talked about serving God through love. This week we're going to talk about the perfect will. The Bible speaks about God's perfect will. He has a perfect plan for our lives from any point where we submit it to him. And of course, the best example is a GPS system, right? You can ignore it, and all it keeps on doing is saying, recalculating, recalculating. And if you start following it, eventually it'll get you to where you're supposed to go. But most of us, we think we know better than the God positioning system, God's GPS. We think we know better. We take shortcuts, and we get ourselves lost. And so we're going to look at God's perfect will, because there is such a thing as a perfect will. David followed God so perfectly until, you know, he stayed home. He didn't consult God. And from that point on, when he messed up, although God forgave him, there were consequences in his kingship. You know, although God forgives us, there are choices that we make that we cannot go back on, we cannot change. But we would like to follow God's perfect will, because that is always best. And then next week, the last one will be the blessing of the Father. And that's when I will be talking about how God would rather us operate in the blessing of his will than to be always needing miracles. Of course, I want him to do some miracles for me. Amen. Amen. Just some recap. We talked about the loss of dominion. Of course, one of the great things that man lost was control over the earth. And that's what Satan came to try and tempt Jesus with in Luke chapter 4, verse 6. All this power will I give thee. Do you know he's still trying to do that to people? All you have to do is do this, and this will happen. That's where that statement, selling your soul, came from. Sell your soul to the devil. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. You know, Thursday night we were going through the men's meeting, and we are going through a DVD series, and the first topic was about courage. And it asked, what was the most courageous thing that you have done in your life? And that's a tough question, right? Maybe you've been in the military, maybe you fought in a battle or something and saved someone's life, but what's the most courageous thing you have done? That's a tough question. Sometimes the most courageous thing is simply telling the truth, because you know there's going to be consequences. Then they ask the question, who's the most courageous person that you know? So we can see that Satan will want to come and take away our dominion. When we have received the Holy Spirit, we have restored dominion. It's just that we don't know it, and he will try and deceive you and try and take it away. Then, of course, I talked about how the animals had gotten wild and the loss of dominion over the animals. And then, of course, the greatest loss of dominion was subjection of our flesh. Jesus was able to be the perfect Son of God because he said, hey, the devil's coming, but he hath nothing in me. Nothing in me. It'd be like grasping air. The more things that we are holding on to, the more the devil can attach his hooks into. The more things that we put value in. But I can honestly tell you that if the rapture were to come this week, that would be so great for me. I know I say it every week, but it would be so great. There's so many things I wouldn't want to have to deal with and get out of. And even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. I wouldn't have to deal with my flesh. My flesh has issues. Amen. There's lots of things I don't want to do that I know I need to do. Amen. So Paul says in Romans that it's a battle, it's a fight. And that's why we have to always try and return whatever dominion back to God so that he can help us. Amen. And then we talked about the three wills, that there's always in every decision at least three wills. What we want to do in our flesh, what God wants us to do, and what Satan wants us to do. And whichever way you align, that's what's going to happen. Wherever you put your will, that's the way it's going to work, because God is not going to force you to love him. In fact, he can't. He's not going to force you to choose him. He will give you every opportunity. He's like someone who is pursuing a bride. He'll come by your window. He'll sing you love songs at night. He'll send you chocolates. But in the end, you have to make that choice. That's what when we pray for God to change someone's heart, I really believe that's what he does. He keeps giving them circumstances to bring them to him. And we can see that so many times in the Bible where someone went outside of God's will, Balaam. He kept on asking God even though God told him no. So finally, God said, fine, go. But even the donkey realized he was making a mistake. The donkey refused to go. God will try and put circumstances, and I'm so grateful that sometimes he blocks what I want to do. I don't know it at the time, but I thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad, God, you did not let that happen. Amen. And then we talked about the conscious and unconscious will, strings of the enemy, and how, as I said at the beginning, that he uses our emotions, fear, anger, lust, anxiety, envy sometimes. We listed all those 27 emotions that the scientists have come up with. Amen. Strings of the enemy. If he can get any of these strings on us, boy, he's so good at jerking them and getting us to do what he wants. And here's the best part. We don't even realize it. We think it's us. Amen. And I emphasize fear and how probably, I know that's one of my things, fear. Anger, lust, all of these strong emotions can manipulate us and pull us in the wrong direction. So that was review, and today we're going to look at what God speaks about, the perfect will. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that the renewing of your mind is so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we look back on our lives and all the decisions we've made, and some of them we think are small decisions, and I said this before, but you know, depending on, you know, which school you went to or which restaurant you went to, actually, I'm thinking of my son Paul. The chain of events that he met his wife was totally incredible, and we always talk about it now. What would have happened if? But the circumstance, I'll just tell you how the circumstance, this was just so amazing. We were going to have a youth speaker, a special speaker at our church in Michigan, and for some reason they could not come. So the person who was organizing it came to me and said, would I speak? So I said, okay. So I ended up speaking, and because of that, they gave me a gift card to Cracker Barrel. So, and Cracker Barrel was quite far away, so we usually never go there. But this once, was it a Sunday? Okay, so we had moved because we'd had a house fire, and so we were near the Cracker Barrel. So we just decided, okay, we're going to go to Cracker Barrel. So our whole family went to Cracker Barrel, and who was our waitress? Angie was our waitress. And at that time I was having some, she lives in Ohio, but she had moved to St. Joe just for the summer to spend time with her friend. Can you see this chain of circumstances? Because this other speaker didn't come, because I ended up speaking, I was given the gift card to Cracker Barrel, and this particular Sunday we went, and we were seated at this one particular table, and here comes Angie. And I don't know who invited her to a Bible study, but usually when we go to a restaurant, we always do that. We give a card and invite to a Bible study. And at the time, Paul was actually dating someone else. He was dating someone else. But I'm just showing you how the circumstance, that's why we should submit almost everything to God. If that hadn't happened, what, how, you know, maybe God would have worked a different way. If you think about the little decisions in your life, but the perfect will of God. Now, I think they've been married 12 years now. But imagine if we'd gone on a different day or if we'd been seated at a different table. That's why even the littlest thing, before you leave your house, Lord, you guide me, you take me. I remember just a couple weeks ago, I think Melissa texted me and said, oh, I just missed an accident. Maybe if you'd been like, what, 10 seconds earlier, you could have been in the middle of that. And that's why every single thing we should give to God. Now, let me confess in my flesh, it was annoying. I'm going to confess something. I know this is going over the internet, but Yvonne's pastor, Bishop Rowe, he's been here. He never goes anywhere, like moves anywhere. Like if we get into the car, he's going to pray. And sometimes I was like, come on, we got to go. And he's going to stop and let's pray. And he's right. My flesh says, oh, come on, we got to go. We prayed this morning. But he is not going to move anywhere, do anything, until he's prayed. And really, that's a good thing. Because if you look back in your life, maybe there were just some events that happened that, if you think, completely changed the direction of your life. And that's why we really, really need to be submitted to find the perfect will. The perfect will. Be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world peer pressure you into how they do decisions. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how does the mind get renewed? It's through the word, through prayer, through seeking. That you may truly prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Now, when it came to my meeting, Yvonne, I can see a million ways that God could have done it. Because in hindsight, there were this person knew this person. There was a whole bunch of different ways we could have met. But in Paul's case, I don't know if we'd gone on a different day, if that chain of things would have happened. But God engineered it. God engineered. That's why we got to really, really submit every choice to him. And I'm guilty. I don't. It's just his mercy. Bible says his mercy that we are not consumed. Amen. Let's go on. Big question. Well, how can we know his will? How do we know which one to marry, who to date, or which job to take? How do we know this? How can we find this out? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, the truth is, you've got to want to know God's will. A lot of us don't really want to know God's will because we kind of have an idea what he's going to tell us. Right? It's like when you don't want to hear the truth. So you've got to be prepared to sacrifice your desires to know his will. You've got to actually seek it. God is not going to force you. The GPS, at least right now, doesn't turn the wheel for you. You have to do it. It'll keep telling you, at the next light, turn left. And then it will recalculate. But, you know, apart from these new self-driving cars, you still have to turn the wheel. You still have to make the decision. So if you want to know God's will, first of all, you have to have a made-up mind that when you do know God's will, you're actually going to do it. I don't believe God is going to waste his time to people who he knows are not going to listen. He will try for a little bit, but if they repeatedly reject his will, he's going to give up on them. And of course, the biggest and worst and saddest example of that is Saul, who kept on doing things outside of God's will till God said, oh no, he's not going to work. It says God repented that he had chosen Saul. So the first thing of knowing God's will is we have to want to know God's will. We say it, oh, I want to know God's will. But if the will of God is outside of what we want to do, then we don't want to know it. Actually, what we really want is for God to approve our will. That's really what we want. We want God to say, yeah. Most of the time, that's the truth. We don't want to be a living sacrifice, because that's what it means. A sacrifice is something that's going to cost you. That's going to cost you. And so if you want to know how we can know God's will, is you, first of all, you have to have the desire to truly know God's will. We have to be prepared then to be a living sacrifice, because when we hear God's will, a lot of times it's not going to align with what we want to do. Abraham, I want you to take your son, take him to this mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him. To me, that's just so, you know, but God, in all of the scripture in Genesis, we don't hear one time where Abraham argues. I'm not that good, I would have said, but God, are you sure? Are you sure? I mean, didn't you say you're going to give me a son? Now you want me to go kill him? There's not one time in this particular instance, Abraham had some failings, we went over them, but by this time, after God had fulfilled the promise of giving him a son, I guess his faith was way up there, because God had also told him something else too. What was the other thing God told him? Say that again. Absolutely. God said he's going to make him a father of many nations. So obviously Abraham believed that even if he killed Isaac, God was going to bring him back to life. Now that's faith. Because up until that point, there was no record in the Bible of a resurrection. Think about that. There was no record of God doing that. Just the promise that God had said, through your seed will all the nations of the earth be blessed. So you don't find Abraham arguing with God. He just went about doing it. And of course, that took some sacrifice. So if you're asking the question, how can you know God's will? Before you ask that, you have to say, do I really want to hear the answer? We have to want to know. And we have to be prepared then, because the answer is probably not going to line up with our human understanding. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part. I think God will test us because he wants someone who is going to put faith in him, not through working it out. If you can work it out, it's not faith, is it? Sister Regina. Okay, let me repeat your question. She asked how, according to the scripture, says all things work together for good that to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Well, again, we would like everything to work out perfectly, but it only does if we are perfectly obedient, right? So when I look back on my life, I've made mistakes. I have times when, as you said, God said to go left, I went right. But here's the thing, as I use the example of a GPS, it doesn't quit trying to get you back on the right track. All it'll do is say recalculating. Now, because you may have gone a mile this way, it is going to take you longer. The journey may be more difficult. You may have ended up in a not so nice place when you start to decide to listen. All it means is now it's going to take you longer to get back to the place where God wanted you to. But God, it will never give up if we never give up. He says, take one step to me, I'll take one step to you. As long as our heart is not so hardened that we refuse to listen, I really believe God will not give up. If he's been willing to put up with all the terrible things that have been going on in this world for one person, for one person. He saved one person the last time and his family, Noah. But Noah found grace. He found one person who was willing to listen. And even then, during the time Noah was building the ark, the Bible says he preached. He proclaimed what was coming. But God wouldn't force people into the ark. They had to choose. So what I would say to you is this, that what happens when we go out of the will of God, it's very much like a GPS. It's going to take us longer. But here's the good part. It'll just keep guiding us if we will listen. God will keep trying to give us the opportunity to know his will. But the better part is if we do it right away, because then the journey is shorter. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. Right? It's harder because after David messed up, what happened? All kinds of negative things happened in his family that probably wouldn't have happened. We give openings to the devil. That's what happens. We open the door to let all kinds of stuff happen when we disobey God, when we don't do his perfect will. And we pay for it. We pay for it. It's not even that God is punishing us. It's just the laws that he has already set up. So let's go on now. We said, how can we know his will? Well, number one, before you ask for God's will, be prepared to follow it. The rich young ruler said, look, I want to be your disciple. But he wasn't prepared for what it took to be a disciple. Oh, yes, I've kept the law. I've done all this stuff. Jesus looked at him. And the sad part, and I've said this many times, the Bible says that Jesus loved him. Jesus saw potential in him. Jesus saw what a great person he could have been and how close he was to being somebody that God could use. And the Bible says Jesus loved him. But he said, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. Go sell all you have and give to the poor. Apparently, his wealth was his idol. His wealth was something he wasn't willing to give up for God. And many of us, it might not be wealth. Maybe it's something else that we're not quite willing to yield to God. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. Let's keep going. So first we always ask the question, well, what is your will, Lord? Should I move to this state? Should I take this job? Well, first of all, let's start with, you know, we all want to hear the voice from heaven. This is the Lord speaking. But before we ask for that, God is already speaking to us through his word. Are you listening to just the plain Bible, first of all? Before you hear the big voice telling you which way to go, are you just listening to what he's already written? Why are you asking for more when you're not even listening to what's already written? Do you think he's going to speak to you when you're ignoring what he's already written? The Father's will, in general, is his word. Most of the things, the questions we have about what to do is already given to us. It's because either we don't like it, don't want to take it. Let's read this. I think, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. This is Paul, I believe, in I think it's Corinthians. Sorry, I didn't put the reference. I'll put it in. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. God, what do you want me to do? Well, let's see if the answer's already in his word. Is there an example? Is there a word that addresses your situation? No, I want you to speak to me personally. You know, Jesus told a parable of a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man ignored everything that was going on during his life. And the beggar that was there was a righteous man. They both died and went to the grave. And the rich man said, okay, now you got my attention. Now I'm listening. But it was too late. So the rich man says, you know what? I tell you what. Could you send someone, if someone came back from the grave, maybe my brothers and sisters would listen. But you read the story, Abraham said, you know what? If they won't listen to what's already been said, the prophets and the word that's already written, they're not going to believe someone who comes back from the grave. And that's exactly what has happened. Jesus came back from the grave, And people still don't believe because they don't want to accept what God's already told them what to do, right? We already know a lot of what we're not to do. You know, the big things, not to kill, not to covet, not to bear false witness. We know all of those things. We know all those things, but are we living according to his commandments? Before we ask him for the voice of God at night or the dream or the vision, let's obey what he's already written. Amen. Let's read his word and try and at least live to what he's already written. It says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect. Remember what we're talking about? The perfect will of God. It's according, he says, to fulfill the word of God, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. We can argue that says, you can argue it if you must, reject it if you will. However, God will have the last word. It'll be sad if the last word you hear is, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Wouldn't that be sad? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. But if we will first start by looking at what God has already written, what has he already told us that we're not fulfilling, right? Lord, I want to be a missionary in Timbuktu. Are you a missionary in Milwaukee? When last have you given a card to somebody? Lord, use me at church. I want to be behind the platform. When have you invited anyone to church? When have you prayed for anyone? I want to pray at the altar. I want to pray for people at the altar. When have you called someone up and said, can I pray for you? Are these good questions? So don't go asking God for stuff he's already told you to do if you're not doing it, because I don't think he's going to speak to you. He's going to say, first do what I've already told you. Isn't that what your mom said? She's given you a list and you want to, have you done what I've already asked you to do? That's what he said to Peter. After the resurrection, he found Peter gone back to fishing. Peter, do you love me? Are you doing what I asked you to do? Go feed my sheep. Go feed my lambs. So, first of all, before we ask God for his perfect will, you know, directly, explicitly for us, make sure we're actually fulfilling what he's already told us to do. Pastor, I don't know the will of God. Well, have you been reading your Bible? Because most of what he tells us to do is already there. Amen. So after we read it then, are we in alignment with the word of God? We're talking about the will, the perfect will. Are we aligned with his word? Because that's the measuring stick. You know, they have this thing called an angle or set. We used to call it a set square, and it's how you line up pieces of wood so that they're perfectly at 90 degrees to each other before you nail it. Okay, so we have God's word, and it tells us how to live, how to walk, how to behave with other people. Are we aligned with, are we lined up with it? Lord, I don't know your will. Well, are you aligned with what I've already told you? Ezekiel 3, verse 1. The prophet had a vision. The angel gave him a book with words. Said, eat it. Do you know we have to eat God's word? We need to eat God's word. Son of man, eat what I am giving you. Eat this scroll, then go and give its message to the people of Israel. Before we can minister to others, we better make sure we have eaten from God's word. He told Ezekiel the prophet, listen, before you can go telling all this other stuff to people, make sure you've eaten God's word yourself. Eat this scroll then and go and give its message to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he fed me the scroll. Fill your stomach with this, he said. And when I ate it, it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. I tell you what, if you love God, his word is going to be sweet to you. That's what Psalms 19 says. It's sweeter than honey on the honeycomb. Because if you love God, you want to please him. It won't be hard. It won't be an effort to do his will. Jesus said this when they said, hey, your brothers and sisters are outside. Now, this is a hard saying. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and then do it. Lots of people hear the word of God. But if you truly want to be the perfect will, we'll find a way to start doing it. Now, we won't maybe do it perfectly because we have this fleshly body, but we should be perfect in our intents. We should always, as I said, every morning wake up desiring, Lord, how can I please you today? I've said so many times, instead of asking God for stuff, what if we ask God what we can do for him? You know, you go into a bank and they say, how may we serve you? Imagine if we woke up and said, God, what can I do? What can I do for you today? Imagine if we went a week without asking God anything, but just saying, God, what can I do for you today? How can you use me? Do you think that would be pleasing to God? I think it would bring a smile to his face. Because he must get tired of us just, gimme, 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 gimme. But imagine if we woke up and said, Lord, what can I do for you today? How can I be pleasing in your sight? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be awesome? Amen. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. So if we're not aligned with his word, then we cannot be aligned with his will. Right? If we're not aligned with his word, don't pretend you're aligned with his will. If you're not already doing what we know to do, right? The Bible says to do good and to know to do good. Then we cannot be aligned with his will. So that's just obvious. But it may not be obvious to us because we're always still, what's your will, Lord? What's your will? God must be frustrated with us asking him his will. I mean, I do it too. Lord, what's your will? You know, when I ask him that, it's because I don't want to do something. Let me confess. Because I know what to do, but I don't want to do it. Lord, what's your will? I'm hoping he'll give me a different direction. Hope he'll give me a different direction. Let's look at this a little bit more. Matthew 18:14. Even so, it is not, let's look at some things in his word he's already told us is his will. So we don't even have to ask about it. And there's lots of them. I just picked three here. So Matthew 18:14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. There's something that's already in the word. What does that mean? The Bible says, except you become converted and become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom. But if you become as a little child, the Bible says it's the Father's will that you not be lost. Here's something that's already written in the word. It's already the Father's will that the little ones not be lost. Boy, if we could become a little one, and I have to keep using my granddaughter Abby, she just came back there 2 weeks ago and she said, a cuddle. Oh, just melted my heart. I had to pick her up and just cuddle. I love babies as long as they're not my own. My wife is giving me a look now. I love my own too, but you understand, you don't have to do all the other stuff that comes with being a parent, right? The grandparents can just do the fun stuff. And then when other stuff is happening, just give them back. Amen. Amen. So it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, you know what that tells us? If you want to be in the Father's will, become a little one. Humble yourself. Love with purity. Don't have guile. Be innocent and pure. That's what it's saying. Because the will of the Father is the little one should not perish. He goes on to say, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And I think that scripture is so deep and profound, and I taught about it to do with the first fruits. Here's another scripture that already tells us the will of the Father. In 3 John 1, 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So it is the will of the Father that we do good, that we're not sick, that we're not always down. Now, you'll say, well, it's not happening for me. Well, there's many reasons why it's not happening for you. And we can get into them in detail, but it probably is because there's other things you're not doing to fulfill perfectly the will of God. But it's God's will that we be happy. Which parent here wants their children to be miserable and sick and depressed? No good. The Bible says no good thing will he withhold. No good thing. Amen. Sometimes the things we want are not good for us. No good thing will he withhold. So here's something that is already written in the Word. You don't have to go and ask God, is it that you want me to be sick? There's some people who say, well, it must be God's will that I'm going through this hardship. No. I don't know any parent here who wants their children to go through hardship. We end up going through hardship through disobedience, not because of the Father, but because of our own choices. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, here's another thing that's already written is the will of God, that we give thanks. But how can I give thanks in this situation? I preached that message last week. How can we sing when we're captive and they want to mock us? How can I sing in a strange land even though I'm going through trials? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. You don't have to go and, Lord, should I give thanks for this? It's already written. Give thanks. Now, it's hard to do when you're going through it, but my tire just blew out. Give thanks. Maybe you missed a train wreck. Maybe you missed something at work. I was looking for some images for the Bible study last night, and so a video popped up of a car driving down a highway, and a tanker truck was on fire. And the rest of the cars were still going by this truck as if it wasn't on fire. And it looked like this car was going to go by the truck too. But about 100 feet before he got there, the whole thing blew up. The whole thing blew up. Now, just because he may have dropped his keys going out, he could have been blown up. That's why we should give thanks in everything. Paul said, I have learned. And the proof is, as we spoke about, even when they were under threat of death, when they were in the prison, when they were in stocks and bonds, the one thing I said, Satan made a mistake, he didn't duct tape their mouth. In midnight, they started to worship and to sing songs. But I can't give thanks for my situation. Look at it. Well, give thanks for God. Give thanks for that it's not going to last forever. Give thanks that you're going to be delivered. Give thanks that your name, isn't that what he said? The disciples came back and all happy and look, the devils are subject to us. We cast out demons, we healed the sick, and they were all happy. Jesus said, okay, that's great, but rather give thanks. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. It doesn't matter where you are, you can still rejoice if your name is still written in the book of life. Amen. That's why you should rejoice. That's why you should give thanks. Not because you're sick. Not because the doctor said you have 6 months to live. Not because you've just lost your job. Not because of family situation. But give thanks that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can always give thanks. So here's some things that are already the Father's will. You don't even have to ask, Lord, what is your will? Should I pray and give you thanks for this bad situation? Or should I be like the disciples? Let's call down judgment. The will of God is the word of God. So we don't have to most times ask God, what is your will, and expect, you know, this is God speaking to you. It's in his word. Open his word. He's already speaking to you. Amen? But a lot of times we don't want to do it. That's the honest truth, because it tells us things that are going to take a sacrifice. We're going to have to do something we don't want to do. Okay, so now if you feel that you're doing all lined up with the word and you're still there's some things you want to hear from God from, let's seek it. Seek God's will. Seek out what he's looking for. Luke chapter 11, verse 9, he says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." Now, here's what most of us do. We pray one or two days, then because it doesn't happen, okay, God's not answering the prayer. And we get upset at God. But it says seek. Seek is not a instant thing. You keep on going. The great example in Old Testament is Elijah praying for rain. He had had miracles happen before, but this time it didn't happen right away. So he just kept on praying. Keep on seeking. I tell you, the answers to my prayers have been ones where I have not given up. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. I'm not righteous, but I try and do the fervent, and I keep praying, I keep praying, I keep praying, I keep praying. Until God tells me no, I'm going to keep praying. My son Matthew was diagnosed with autism. And it wasn't a one-day prayer. It wasn't a two-day prayer. It was over some years prayer. It was when he was 5 that God delivered him. So for the first 4 years, you know, he was pretty severely autistic. But you know him now. You don't. He's married, has children. That's a miracle. And my wife and I would pray for him every night without fail. Lord, open his understanding. Open his understanding. Heal him. Deliver. And you know what? God did it. Why? Because seek and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He got extremely sick and had to go to the hospital when he was 5. He got an infection in his throat, and it was going to cut off his windpipe, and they were going to have to do emergency surgery and cut a hole in his neck. And that night, I stayed in the hospital room with him, and I prayed some more. And from that point on, God did something. God did something. Seeking and knocking will open the door. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I still have that Bible over there where that was written. I've told you that story so many times, right? You know I'm old because I keep telling you the same stories. That's not what my flesh wanted. I wanted some money. That's what I wanted. Instead, my parents sent me this Bible as a wedding gift. You know, and I can't get mad because it is a Bible, but my flesh didn't want the Bible. We wanted some money. At least I did. What are you seeking for? Are you really seeking God's will? Do you really want to know his will? Because I tell you what he's going to say. If you want to be my disciple, you let him first deny himself. Deny your wishes. Deny your wants. Deny your desires. And then go take, it gets worse. Go take up your cross. And then follow me. But here's the good part. No man hath left father, brother, sister, houses, or land for the kingdom's sake that he shall not receive 100-fold. No matter, you can't outdo God. He is going to reward those who are faithful. The Bible says, for we are all going to have to stand and give an account before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things that we have done in the flesh. Now, that's a reward ceremony. It's called the Bema Seat Judgment. I'm going off topic here, but when you read about the 7 churches in the book of Revelation, there are 7 different rewards given for those who endure to the end. So if you want the Father's will, you have to seek it. You have to seek it. You have to press your way. The woman with the issue of blood, there was a crowd around Jesus, but she was determined. She had been through doctors. She spent all her money. But she said in her heart, if I can touch the hem of his garment. He's a rewarder of them that haphazardly come to church now and then. He's a rewarder of them that diligently. See, you got to want this thing. But if you want this thing, he will show up. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The wise men spent years finding Jesus. It wasn't a two-day trip. It was years. It was years finding Jesus. If you read the account very carefully, by the time they found him, it says he was in the house. He wasn't in no manger. And that's why Herod said, let's kill all the children, when he had looked at the time from 0 to 2 years old. It was years. But they did not give up until they found him. We want the Father's will, then we have to seek it with our whole heart. He said, when you seek me with your whole heart, you shall find me. Here's another one. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. This is a hard one. Remember I said what one of the things the devil uses is anxiety and worry? Because we're always worried, well, how are we going to do this? This is a very hard one. We're probably all guilty of this one. Take no thought, therefore, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But you know, the Lord is curing me of this problem. I think this was one of my problems. Every time the church has some big expense, it seems we get sent the exact amount. The exact amount, out of the blue. Like, we just had a big expense to stop the leak over there and fix some other things, and someone sent pretty much the exact amount. Isn't that great? Every time I think, well, how are we gonna do this? We're gonna have to cut this back or do that. God is saying, no, this is my house. I'm gonna take care of it. You couldn't take care of it even if you wanted to. That's what we have to realize, that we couldn't really fix things even if we wanted to. It's the Father's will. Hallelujah. The Bible says, no good thing will he withhold. So here's something we already know. We don't have to ask the Lord about worry. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to trust him. And it's very hard. Probably all of us could repent of worry. Anyone here don't worry? Let me just see. We're all guilty of that. Well, how are we going to do this now? Well, this is going to happen. And what if that? If we would just learn to trust, it's hard. But I take the example of Abraham when God told him, okay, I want you to take your only son. You don't even find him arguing. You don't even ask him, come again? Did I hear you right, Lord? Not once. He doesn't even question. Because he's looking beyond the death. He's looking at the resurrection. He is looking at the promise. I have promised I will never leave you nor forsake you. I have promised that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If we look at the problem instead of the promise, then that's when we worry. But if we will look at the promise, we'll worry less. Because he said, I will never leave. And the Bible says in Hebrews that by two immutable things that it is impossible. I'll tell you this, God has never lied to me. He has never lied to me. When I have done my part, he has always come through. Always. He's never lied to me. Ever, ever, ever. Ever. Amen. Take no thought. Here's the will of God, the perfect will of God. If we could live perfectly, we would not worry. Now, he told his disciples one time when he was sending them out, one time he said, don't take anything with you. Just go. Now, think about that. Just go, just take your staff and your little bag and go into a town and start preaching. But how are we going to live? I mean, what are we going to do? That's our thoughts. That's how we think. But he told them that. Don't even worry about it, because when you go into that town, someone is going to take care of you. He can use the raven. That's how he did with Elijah. He used an unclean bird to feed the prophet. All right, let's go. So we're talking then about the Father's will. We have to learn to trust. That's what it says in Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord. This is so hard. Trust in the Lord with a little bit of your heart. 50% of your... Now, this is so... We're talking about the perfect will. God's perfect will is that we would totally trust him. As I've used this example so many times before, from the age of 0 to 2, somebody diapered you. Somebody cooked some food and put in your mouth. Or maybe they didn't cook it, but maybe you were breastfed. Somebody clothed you. Someone cleaned you up. You had no part in that whatsoever. In fact, you weren't even worried about it. You just assumed when you cried, somebody's going to pick you up. Imagine if we could do that. The Bible says, except you become converted as a little child. It's not that we're not going to cry. Babies cry. But they cry because they're expecting something to happen. David said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. It's not that we're not to cry. It's not that we're not to feel pain. But it's that we should have an expectation of deliverance, of an answer. It's okay to cry unto the Lord. It's not okay to believe nobody's going to hear you. He said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Jonah in the belly of the whale said, I cried unto the Lord from the hell, from the grave, and he heard me. So this is much quoted. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. I think this is why sometimes God has to let the situation go to such a place where there is no other answer, where there is no other way out. And so we can only then trust him, because if there's some other way out, we're going to try and fix it. We try and fix it. We try and steady God's cart so that the ark doesn't fall off. That's not what God wants. God wants us to totally be like a little child, that we depend on him. We just say, Lord, I want a cuddle today. I hope you came to church. I need a cuddle today with God. I need a hug. If you came to church with that desire, this is the place. God is saying, listen, I love you. I'll never leave you nor forsake. As long as we come to him as a little child, as long as we lift up our hands. If I can love my granddaughter, you think God does not love you? Now, it may be that when she was younger, she had to be taken to the doctor to get some shots. And probably that wasn't very nice. And probably she was looking at her mother and saying, why are you letting them do this to me? No amount of explanation to a 6-month-old is going to make them understand that although this is hurting now, it's to stop you greater. Sometimes God gives us an inoculation so we don't get the full-blown disease. We just get a little taste of it, and that cures us. Okay, I know now not to go down that path. I looked behind the door, and it didn't look good. I'm so glad God did that to me when I was young. Do you know that's why they give the injections when you're young? Because if you get the disease when you're a grown-up, it is, some of them, are life-threatening. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Worrying truly doesn't change anything, but trusting God changes everything. Every time I've just thrown it on God and said, God, well, except you fix this, it ain't going to get fixed. He has never let me down, never, ever let me down. He's always come through. So amazing, so amazing. Sometimes I have to put on my glasses and just cry in the car when I'm driving. I don't want anyone to see me. I put on my glasses and I just start thanking God. You are so merciful. You are so gracious. Despite my disobedience, the Bible said he would have mercy upon our unrighteousness, he is so gracious. But he has a perfect plan for your life. He has a perfect direction for your life. And even if many of us have gotten lost and gone left or right, All we have to do is start to listen to his voice. Listen to the word. You know, we quote that scripture so many times, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. If we will let the lamp lead us, we'll get back on course. Of course, the perfect will is obedience. What's the use of having a GPS if you ignore it? That was a waste of money, right? Total waste of money if you're going to say, you know, I know better than this GPS. Now they have some sophisticated ones that can even update and tell you when there is road work. Or it will tell you, it'll say, you are now on the shortest route. The Google one will tell you you're on the shortest route. And a lot of times I've looked at it and said, nah, I can do it faster than that. And my wife will say, it says an hour 40. You needed to have leave a little bit earlier. No, no way is it going to take an hour 40. No. Guess what? It took an hour 40. See, I was leaning to my own understanding. I'm saying, oh, they're calculating 50 miles an hour and all of this, and they're not taking. I know better than the GPS, which is being satellite updated in real time. But I know better. I'm going to take a shortcut. That's what happens when we end up like in Pilgrim's Progress. He gets persuaded to take a shortcut, to leave the path. He ends up locked up in Doubting Castle. And every day he's beaten up by the giant called doubt. Once we leave the path, all kinds of things can happen to us. The devil will attack us. But as I told you, the way out is to remember God's promise. You know the story, if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, he's in there being beaten up every day. The giant's telling him, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just kill yourself? And the way out of Doubting Castle is he remembers that he has a key. That key is the promise of God. If we will remember God's promises, if you can stand with me. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful things. But then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That comes from the phrase in the scripture where Samuel is talking to Saul. And Saul said, listen, you took too long to come. I couldn't wait anymore. So the people were getting restless. So I decided I would do the sacrifice. I mean, God is pleased with sacrifice, isn't he? No, God is more pleased with obedience. He doesn't really need us. He can find someone else. So there is no substitute for perfect obedience. It's not how much you do it halfway right. It's whether you will serve God with your whole heart. Whole heart. God is looking for obedience. He's looking for submission. He's looking for true followers of him. A follower does just that, follows. Even when it's through the shadow of the valley of death, because he's with us, we will what? Fear no evil. God has a perfect will for our life. Maybe we have stepped out of his plan, but it is never too late with God. Never too late. The proof of that is the thief on the cross. Maybe an hour away from his death, he says, Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom, just remember me. That's all he said. What a short prayer. But in that short prayer was faith in who Jesus was. Acknowledgement of who he was. Belief that he was who he said he was. And because of that, Jesus said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. It doesn't take much to get back on course. be summed up in one word, repentance, which really means changing direction. When we truly change direction, when we start to head in the right direction, you know what? God starts to move in our direction. And that's what it's all about. Perfect obedience is to change direction, to align ourselves with God's plan for our life. And if we do that, no matter where we go, what situation we are, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And today I want us to remember that if we will just trust God and totally submit to him, he has a perfect will for our life. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah, for your word. Oh God, let it find good soil in our hearts. Help us to be obedient to your word, to seek your face with our whole heart. Lord God, we just ask right now that you fill our hearts with faith. Oh God, that we will obey your word, that we will seek you diligently, that your perfect will can be manifested in our families, in our church, in our lives, in our walk, oh God. Use us, hallelujah, to be soul winners, to be, oh God, overcomers. We thank you this morning, Lord. Oh God, for your merciful grace. Fill this place right now. Let your Holy Spirit manifest in every aspect. Be a cover to us. Lord, we lift up your name and we thank you right now for the victory. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God a praise offering this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.